First thing we're going to do is we're going to go over a little bit of review. So last week, we talked about John being a credible witness. All right, so 1 John, 2 John, 3 John was written by the same person who wrote the Gospel of John, and that is the beloved disciple. John never mentions his own name in the Gospel that he wrote. He just says that he is a disciple whom Jesus loved. How many of you last week, you enjoyed talking about that and whether that was really something that spoke of humility or pride? Right? How many of you think it was humility? Right? It was a beautiful thing. It's like, man, you know, I love the Lord. That's a beautiful thing, and the Lord loves me. All right, so who is this John? Last week we mentioned a few things. There are reasons why we should listen to John. All right, we said that he's an apostle of Jesus. That is, he had an apostolic calling. There were only a handful of apostles. That's all there's ever going to be. So there's an apostolic calling on his life. Second of all, he was commissioned by Jesus. That is, that Jesus specifically gave authority to those apostles. They were given the privilege of introducing the kingdom to people, and they had the ability even to go out and do things that maybe we don't. You know, they were able to go out and cast out demons and bring healing to people in their position. And then third, they were an eyewitness, as John was, and all the apostles. So John mentions several things. He says, we have heard, we have seen, our hands have handled. So John is a credible witness. And then we summarized last week's lesson by saying this, that John wrote these epistles to reassert what is true about Jesus, not insert something new about him. So many folks would say, hey, the Gospel of John was written later. It was written like in the 90s, 90 AD. Something's new is getting introduced here by John, but that's not the case at all. Jesus is God and spoke as God in Matthew, Mark, and Luke as well. John just simply brings that about and that truth in a unique way. All right, so this week we're going to do lesson number two, which is signs of genuine fellowship. Signs of genuine fellowship. So if we're trying to figure out whether or not we're really part of the body of Christ, whether we know Jesus, what are the evidences that we should see in our life? We're going to hit one of three of them that we find early here in John. So just by way of a little bit of an introduction, we love to tell of famous people that we know and the encounters we have with them. How many of you have ever had an occasion of meeting somebody very famous? Anybody? All right, anybody you know, literally had a conversation with somebody that's famous? Not just wave, but I mean, you literally saw them, right? So years ago, I actually had a conversation with Gary Peters, a very prominent politician in our neck of the woods. He came to the place where I was working, and me and my dad, and we had a chance to meet him, shook his hand, and so on. Also, probably a super, super famous person that I saw, he was in the same apartment complex as me one time, was Dennis Rodman. Remember the Worm? Dennis Rodman? Big old lanky Dennis Rodman. Awesome, awesome basketball player. Diane and I, we lived in an apartment complex in Kego Harbor. We lived on the bottom floor, so when people came in from the street, they came down the stairs and then would find our way. Well, one day we saw this big old lanky black guy come in, and it's like, that's Dennis Rodman. So we're literally like checking it out, like looking through our peephole, and we saw, you know, like his stomach area. And it's like, Dennis Rodman was just in our hallway. Unbelievable. He must know somebody down here. So all of us have had occasions of meeting someone, seeing someone famous. But here's a reality. Think of this. Most encounters with famous people don't really change us. In fact, what we hope is that those encounters will change how other people view us. I got to see so-and-so. Doesn't that make me special? But when it comes to Jesus, and specifically the example here with John, John was never one to say, man, what an awesome person I am because I had an occasion to meet Jesus. His focus was never on him or what that would mean to him personally because he had an encounter with Jesus. Instead, what he wanted was for everybody else to know who Jesus was and the truth about him. So I want to back up to 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. Let's read verse 1 through 4, which is where we were last week. He says, that which was from the beginning. Again, the word that, first word, we said is in reference to the gospel, that which is in the beginning when Jesus first began to reveal himself. that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And then verse 4, he says, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. So John is not telling us about the opportunities he had to spend with Jesus so that we think much of him, but so that we think much of Jesus. And he really begins in verse number 5 to describe why this is so life-changing, that we have been with Jesus, that we get to know Jesus. In verse number 5, he says, this is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So this message is what was spoken to them by Jesus. Now, many years ago, I remember kind of going on a search. I was wanting to hear some of the voices of the past as far as ministry goes. And I'm like, man, I wonder if there's any recordings of some of the preachers that I have books for, you know, men that built churches and maybe colleges and God used in a mighty way. And I just began to think about like D.L. Moody. And today there's still Moody Bible Institute in Chicago and Moody Church. And man, I've got books by him. I've read his biography of his. And it's like, man, I wonder if there's any, and there actually are. I actually was able to find just a few very, very short recordings of the voice of D.L. Moody. And I'm telling you, that thrilled my soul. And when I heard his voice, it's like, he doesn't sound anything like I thought he would sound. He really doesn't. And so I went on this journey, and I found him, and I found a few others that there's just a small little bit of recordings that let us in on how they actually sounded. I think about this for a minute. John actually heard Jesus speak. He heard him deliver sermons. I mean, do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about how does Jesus sound when he talks? I mean, does he have a super deep voice, or, you know, does he have a high-pitched voice? Does he talk really fast, or does he talk really slow? I mean, what does Jesus actually sound like when he talks? One day we're going to get to experience that. But for now, we can know that someone who firsthand heard Jesus speak is going to convey to us what he heard. He says that the message which we have heard from him, we're now declaring it to you. The word declare means to announce, to outline. We want you to know his message is worth hearing. Jesus' message is for everyone, not just for us that are in this auditorium or maybe watching this later. The message is for everybody. It's for everybody, whether we realize it or not, whether we accept it or not, whether we appreciate it or not, but we all should, because it's good news. Amen? Do you remember the first time you ever heard about Jesus? I mean, other than the swear words you heard somebody roll off their tongue, when was the first time you literally heard the truth about Jesus? And what a wonderful sound that is. You see, John chapter 3, verse 17 says that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The message of Jesus is a beautiful, beautiful one, and it speaks of light. If we know God, we're walking in light. The message which we have heard, we declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That is, that God is light. He is not a light, he is the light. He is the light. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 1, the gospel, it says that Jesus lights every man that comes into the world. The consciousness that we have to even comprehend a being as awesome as God was given to us by God, our Creator. And no one has an excuse, because we have a conscience, and our conscience speaks of a God who is one who dictates what is right and what is wrong. As a matter of fact, as well, in John chapter 1, verse 7, speaking of John the Baptist, who was like the forerunner of Jesus, who came on the scene preaching the kingdom, telling people to repent, it says of John the Baptist that he came to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he came to bear witness to that light. And that's our responsibility too, is to be witnesses of that light. We're not the light. We just get to bear witness to it. Now, in the scripture, the word light is an emblem of four things and perhaps even more, but these are four. Think about these with me for a moment. In the scripture, light is an emblem of truth. Truth. We are living in a post-truth culture. When people are saying, you can have your truth, I can have my truth, and they're equally right because it's whatever the individual feels. That's not true. Correct? It's not true. You can't be true, and I can't be true if we don't believe in the truth. There's only one truth. As well, the word light is an emblem of knowledge. And there are people today who are studying in colleges and universities, and their minds are getting full with information, and they've got degrees as long as their arm is. But if they miss understanding and knowing who Jesus is, they are missing what knowledge is really all about. It is also an emblem of holiness and purity. And so when you think about this walking in the light, it's referring to Jesus, the person of Jesus, because John chapter 8, verse 12 says that he's a light of the world. But it also speaks of the way you and I are to live. We're to walk in the light, in the understanding of who Jesus is and what he wants for us. I love 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Peter kind of describes how that light is not just external, but it is actually internal for those of us who are followers of Christ. Simon Peter begins 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you, here it is, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, important phrase, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. So we who are Christians, we have a new nature. We have a divine nature, and that divine nature literally means that the light is now living inside of us. It's not just external, it's internal as well. So God the Holy Spirit living inside of us is the one who brings about change in us. He's the one who directs us, who informs us. Then we cannot walk in darkness as Christians without being convicted of our sin, without being mindful that things are going to happen and not good if we continue to walk in those ways. Why? Because God loves us. He loves us. This is not a popular message today, to talk about light and darkness and sin and wrong, right? Today, there are many pastors who will not mention even the word sin from their pulpit. They talk about seven ways to improve your life and how to be a better parent and, you know, how to get over this and how to get over that, but they rarely ever will mention the word sin. Sin is what separates us from Almighty God. Imagine if you are experiencing extreme stomach ache and you're just doubling over in pain, and so you get an appointment with your doctor and you finally go in and you're like, Doc, I'm just crippling over in pain. Just all of a sudden it will just grip me and I don't know what is going on. And your doctor, instead of taking and allowing you to get some x-rays so they can see actually what's going on inside of you, instead your doctor prescribes for you two things: some high doses of pain medication and some relaxing music for you to listen to when it gets really bad. You would say that doctor's not worth his weight in salt. That he's not really helpful, is he? In fact, he's hurtful. And if we don't, as people of God, have pastors and leaders who will address the topic of sin, we're in trouble. John is going to center his attention on the issue of sin as we see it clearly in this text. All right, so he says in verse number 6, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. She says, if you're calling yourself a Christian, but there's no desire within you to address the issue of sin, it's not the truth that's living inside of you. It's a lie. We lie and do not practice the truth. The word lie is the word pseudomai. It means to utter an untruth, one definition. Number two, or attempt to deceive by falsehood. So in other words, we're speaking something that's just totally untrue, or we're saying something because we want other people to think something of us that is not the truth. So again, 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. What a beautiful verse. The word fellowship that we see here and in the verses before is the word koinonia, and it means participation, communion, interaction. So if we have a relationship with God, it is that we're participating in life with God present in our life. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but in reality, every day we're walking with him. We're communing with him. And when that's a reality, we're going to address the topic of sin in our life. And when we address the topic of sin, the precious truth of the end of verse 7 is ours. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The word cleanse, katharizo, means to cleanse, to purge, to purify. And when we confess our sin to God, when we bring it to him, he removes that sin and that stain that's on our hearts. And so tonight we're gonna look at one of three times in 1 John chapter 1 where the Apostle John uses this phrase, if we say. If we say, this first one here, if we say that we have fellowship with God, we have a genuine relationship with God, and yet we're walking in darkness, we're lying. We're not living in the truth. I'll close with this. Some years ago, actually 11 years ago, Ernie Harwell, who was for many, many years the radio voice of the Detroit Tigers, unbelievable Christian, strong man in his faith, absolutely loved Jesus, and he had terminal cancer, and he was given an opportunity to speak before a Tiger game in 2009 in September. And he spoke, and he just talked about how he was not afraid for what was coming next. It's because he had a relationship with the Lord. He was in fellowship with the Lord. And I remember Jim Leland being asked about it afterwards, and this is what Jim Leland said. He said, if we're all at peace with ourselves as much as he is, that's pretty good. I'm not sure I am. I can tell you that right now. So here's Jim Leland saying, man, if I were in his place, I wouldn't have the peace he has. I wouldn't be facing that next step like he is. That's why it's important for all of us to realize, hey, are we on that journey with the Lord? Do we have a personal relationship with God? If we do, we're going to be addressing the issue of walking in the light. We're going to want to walk in the light, not walk in darkness. So in summary, before we break into our groups, two summary statements. Number one, those who walk in darkness are resisting and or rejecting God, who is light. Second, those who walk in the light are pursuing God, godly relationships, and purging sin. Amen? So tonight, you're going to get into that. In your lesson, you're going to learn some things about John. That John, even as he walked with Jesus, he was not perfect. There are things that he said that he did. You're going to read about those tonight. It's like, oh my goodness, what are they thinking? John was just like us. John was not perfect. He was experiencing the same difficulties we do of trying to live the Christian life and yet realizing that we're pulled backwards by our sin. So I'm also going to really look forward to thinking through this key phrase, if we say, that we find in verse number 6. And I hope that you'll wrestle through that. And what I really hope is by the time your breakout groups are done, that you have a little clearer picture of why it's so important that every day of your life, you're walking in the light, you're pursuing a relationship with God. Amen? Because we need that. We live in a wicked world. Wicked world. So we certainly need to trust God and trust the light that he gives us. Let's pray. God, we pray that you'll go with us as we break out into our groups and begin to study a little bit more about John in this first key little phrase, if we say. God, I pray that you will just help us to understand, to comprehend, help us to be honest and open with one another. And I pray that this time would be profitable, Lord. We pray in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message delivered at Hope Community Church, located in Waterford, Michigan. We sincerely hope this message has encouraged you to begin a relationship with God or strengthen the one you already have. If we can assist you on your spiritual journey, please call the church office at 248-481-8240 or contact us through our online home at www.hopecommunitywaterford.net. Our church meets every Sunday at 10 a.m. and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. We would be honored to have you join us if you live in the area. Thanks again for listening.